In the early days of the pandemic lockdown, many of us, as a way to ease our anxiety, we threw ourselves into stories. That's a nice way to say that we binge watch a lot of TV shows, or we stream a lot of shows. One of the shows that I've been watching during that time, during those early days of the lockdown, was a show called Parks and Recreation, or Parks and Rec. It ran on NBC around 2009 to 2015. Some of you might be familiar with the show. It tells the story of a tight community of friends who work at the Parks and Recreation Department in the made up city of Pawnee, Indiana. It's about six to seven seasons. And in season six, on episode six, one of the main characters, Andy, is kind of a goofball. And he's played by Chris Pratt, who went to high school just a few miles north of here in Lake Stevens. Andy is in Pawnee visiting his wife, April, just for 19 hours before he needs to go back to London when he has been working for a few months. Sending that character was a way for them to remove the actor Chris Pratt from the show so he can go and film Guardians of the Galaxy. At the end of this episode, the young couple, Andy and April, they're sitting at a diner, and Andy becomes vulnerable with April. He opens up and he tells her that he's scared. He does not want to go back to London. See, I told you he was kind of a goofball. And in this new job, they kept asking him to actually make decisions, to sign papers, to tell people what to do. And he had no idea how to do that work. And he was confused. April, his wife, then hold his hands in hers, look deeply into his eyes, and says, "I'm going to tell you a secret about everyone else's job. No one knows what they're doing. Deep down, everyone is just faking it until they figure it out." Now, isn't that a profound truth about the human experience? "I'm going to tell you a secret about everyone else's life. No one knows what they're doing deep down. They're just faking it until they figure it out." Our first reading today came from the book of Genesis, and it's quite an interesting and confusing reading. And it still narrates a crucial moment in the life of Abraham and Sarai. While the text that we read only mentioned Abraham, let us be mindful that Sarai is as important to the story that unfolds as Abraham is. The text that we read in Genesis is ancient, and it is written within a particular social context of patriarchy. Those who wrote it were immersed in their own social locations. And in this case, being patriarchy, we don't hear much the story of Sarai. However, we know that God was communicating with both Abraham and Sarai. In the earlier chapters of the book of Genesis, we learn the story of how God calls this couple to leave their country and to follow God's promise of a new land. So Abraham and Sarai pack their bags, load their camels, and embark on their journey. This couple, Abraham and Sarai, they're like the quintessential power couple of faith. When we think of power couples, we might think of Michelle and Barack, Beyonce and Jay-Z, or maybe Fred and Ginger. But before them, there were Abraham and Sarai, the power couple of our faith, bold, courageous, and faithful. That's how we see them. That's how we remember them. And part of the story that we read today gives us a glimpse into their human side. In that reading, Abraham has a profound experience of the divine that the storyteller articulates by saying that the word of God came to Abraham in a vision. And in that experience of the divine, Abraham understood that God was affirming their relationship and confirming the promise made before them of descendants. However, by now, Abraham and Sarai have lived long enough. They have traveled. They've seen the world. The couple is not as innocent as they were in the past, not that gullible. And those who came across to us as bold, courageous, and faithful, they come clean and they have questions. They're not quite sure what to think when God mentioned and when God speaks once again of the promise of the descendant. I wonder how many times, just like April and Andy, Abraham and Sarai had this conversation in which Abraham will be fearful and confused and tell Sarai, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to go about this. And then Sarai would hold Abraham's hands in her hands, look deeply into his eyes and say, I'm going to tell you a secret, Abraham, about everybody else's life or everybody else's faith. No one knows what they're doing. Deep down, everyone is just faking it until they figure it out. There's this back and forth of questions in the reading early. When God said something, Abraham said, but God. And when God says something, Abraham said, Lord, how about this? There's this back and forth questions, which to me means that these heroes of the faith, or that we consider these people heroes of the faith, exactly because questioning, because being open to uncertainties, because being open to be hesitant about life is just part of the journey, is part of the relationship. No one has it figured out. Like Abraham and Sarai, we all stumble in our faith journey. We all flounder and hesitate as we try to make sense of the grace mystery, of the mystery of being in relationship with God, the mystery of being in relationship in this world and with each other. Perhaps there was a moment in our life when we thought that our faith in God may solve all our problems, that He might give us the right answer to our questions, and if not, at least protect us from pain. But then we were shocked to find out that faith is not like snake oil, and that this idea of a relationship with the divine is not like a magic weight loss pill that we learn when we watch TV too late at night. Faith is not a leveler that we use to gain something from God, because God is not a slot machine in a cosmic casino. Faith is fundamentally a love relationship. And like any relationship based on love, it demands our honesty, our vulnerability, and our transparency. Faith is not something that we will unto ourselves, but it's an affiliation, a kinship, perhaps an affair that we give ourselves to. The reading continues by saying that Abraham and Sarai believed the Lord. But believe what? that God would do what God promised? Maybe. But what if instead of just believing that God would deliver the outcome, what if they just gave themselves to the affair with God? That affair that was initiated and continued by God. I'm going to tell you a secret about everybody else's faith. No one knows what they're doing. Deep down, everyone is just faking it until they figure it out. But in truth, we do not have to fake it. We don't. And we do not need to have it figured out. We don't. The stumbling, the hesitancy, the floundering is just part of the journey. It's part of that mystery, and it's okay. Faith is the plunge into the longing that awakens our soul. It's the dive into the quiet immersity of presence. It's the submersion into the abysmal generosity of God. And I believe that it's only in this givenness to God, in this givenness to this affair with God, this jump into the divine as a child jumps from a swing into their parents' arms, that is the only thing that could carry Abraham and Sarai through the mystery of life. And I believe that it's only into this givenness into God, into giving ourselves into this affair with God, into this jump into the divine as a child jumps from a swing into their parents' arm. I believe that this is the only way that we can go through this mystery of life. So here we are, beloveds in Christ, a gathered community in our Lenten journey, not in need to fake it, and not in need to figure it out. With what little great faith we might have, we are at a threshold. We are an edge. We are at an edge into infinite love, a love that is always yearning for us to jump, and always eager to catch us, and always eager to embrace us.